appreciate the Jones kids singing for us tonight. 1 Samuel 17, here for a moment tonight. Need your prayers. Pray God would touch us. Let us be able to preach this evening. And amen. Preach like a wild man this morning and got carried away. And so ain't got a lot left in the tank, but we need the Lord to fill us up again, all right? 1 Samuel 17, if you would stand with me, and if you're able to do so, you stand. We'll read just a few verses, and we'll embark on this story, very familiar story. And by story, I don't mean it's a fable. This thing really, really happened, just like the Word of God has recorded it for us. And very familiar. In fact, we want to preach from all of this chapter over the next week or two, if the Lord would be our helper, and pick up on a thought that we've been dealing with in recent months, I guess many months now, just as the Lord has directed us, maybe even going back to last year. We started preaching on the God of the valleys. The God of the valleys, looking at valley scenes in the Word of God and seeing what God has done for His people in the valleys. And that's important because we, as God's children, face circumstances that we call valley times of our Christian life. And I'm thankful God is God of the valleys in the Word of God, and He's God of the valleys in your life and in mine. Now in 1 Samuel 17, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side." Notice this phrase, "and there was a valley," that is the valley of Elah, "there was a valley between them." Verse 4 said, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath." Jump down with me, if you will. And verse number 12. "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses on the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." And we'll leave off our reading there. And even much of the world knows the story of David and Goliath. And what a great, great story it is in the Word of God. You can be seated. We'll pray together one more time. And then we'll teach you some things. Won't be deep tonight, nothing you hadn't heard. But just a reminder this evening, our God is the God of the valleys. Heavenly Father, tonight we are so thankful and grateful for the mercies of God, for your grace and your goodness. Lord, as we studied and looked at briefly this morning, thy loving kindness and thy faithfulness, Lord, has been great in our life. And for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight in the house of the Lord. You know, Lord, the weakness of our body and our flesh, and Lord, the thoughts that we have, Lord, of just being unable to do, Lord, what we need to do tonight. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would help us in spite of that weakness and that inability. Lord, we know even on our best day, We need the help of our God. And Lord, that's true. And Lord, it's even more true tonight than it's ever been. We need the help of our God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd send us some help. And Lord, help us to magnify the truth that you give to us tonight. And no matter what we face and what circumstance of life we find ourselves in, our God is able, Lord, to give us the victory we need. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, we're in 1 Samuel 17 tonight, and we look here at the Valley of Elah. And in the Valley of Elah, this battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. We understand that in this text tonight, this scene takes place in the Valley of Elah. Elah simply means terebinth or an oak tree. And that is a certain kind of tree known to grow in the land. And we understand that that it was prevalent there. And Elah, an oak tree, speaks of strength and speaks of power. Speaks of strength and it speaks of power. So we consider this text tonight. I believe the Valley of Elah is known for this battle between David and Goliath. The name Elah is given to several men in the scriptures, but as far as we know, this place of the Valley of Elah is the only place that bears this name. The place of strength, a place of power, a place here that is very, very important to the children of Israel and the region of Judah, that is, in the region of praise, is where this battle is taking place. And so we find here that strength is at stake and power, the power of the people of God is at stake. The enemy has come in. In fact, we read in verse number 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And so the foe is the one that has picked the fight. It is the Philistines that have come against the people of God to this very particular place, in an attempt to rob from them this place, Elah, their strength and their power. And we understand in our text that this showdown of Israel and between Israel and the Philistines is they trying to gain this valley of strength and power for their own advantage. If the Philistines can take this, it would be as though they were robbing power and strength and thus the praise from the children of God. The Valley of Elah, when you study it out, you'll find that it's said to have been convenient to both sides, that is Israel and the Philistines. And it was a battle here, this particular place in the Valley of Elah, would have been convenient both for view and vocals. And in my study of it, I found that the steepness of this valley scene made it like, if we could explain it this way, Brother Jack, bleachers on both sides. And if you ever been to a ball game, maybe a high school, especially a high school ball game, where you have a set of fans on one side cheering for one team, and you've got another set of fans is cheering and rooting for the other side. And they're cheering and they're clamoring back and forth. And if it's a rivalry of sorts, it gets kind of nasty every now and then. Amen, with yo mama jokes and you ain't as good as we are and our team gonna beat your tail. And amen, all those kind of bantering back and forth that go on between rivals. And so it would have sort of a bleacher scene where both sides of the army could view and mock one another and observe what was going to take place in this valley. It was a sort of an amphitheater, if you will, the scene that was there. And one side can yell to the other side and they can yell back. And just in my mind, that would have been a great, great scene just to kind of, amen, from a distance, just take it in and watch what is taking place in this text. As we've read verses 1 through 3 tonight, this text opens up speaking about this battle, both sides seem evenly matched and at a standstill. And the Philistines come, they set the battle in array, And they're bantering back and forth, and they're working themselves up, amen, to draw their swords and spears on one another, and for there to be bloodshed in the valley of Elah. And they're at a standstill, and the battle has been, the battle lines have been drawn, and they're working this thing up, and it seems like that there's an evenly matched battle getting ready to take place, until Goliath steps out from the Philistine side and begins to embark upon a challenge that we look at this evening, challenging one-on-one. The Philistine champion will take on a mighty man from Israel's side. That battle will determine who possesses the power and the strength over the other. And all of a sudden, this place of strength and this place that represented oak trees and represented the power of Israel's praise is all of a sudden turned into a very dark valley scene where, my friend, it seems like the Philistines have the upper hand. What we know, and we'll try to get it out in the way, I can preach all the way to the end tonight. And I will preach the first point, and then I'll fast forward to the end, and we'll deal with it more in the weeks to come. But what we find here is that when it looks like Israel now is outmanned, when it looks like Israel doesn't have enough strength, enough power, that they don't have enough of a champion to go out and to win this fight, what we find is that God proves faithful to intervene. And through a most unlikely means, just a little old ruddy little teenage boy by the name of David, and God is going to bring an unlikely victory and prove one more time that he is God of the valleys. Amen. It looks like in verse 3, they're evenly matched. It's a coin flip. Verses 4 and following, it looks like the Philistines have the upper hand, and that there's nothing that Israel can do. Amen. But Brother Tim, when the dust settles and the battle is over, the Philistines are put to flight on the run, and there is a great slaughter that is made on that day. And the children of God will stand and sing the sweet songs of victory. Amen. And God will be magnified as the God of the valleys. And so tonight, when I consider Elah, the valley of Elah, it speaks of our strength and the desire of the enemy to come in and to rob us of our power and of our praise. Amen. To chop our oak tree down, so to speak. Amen. And leave you and I at a disadvantage with the enemy. Amen, lording over you and I, and in a vantage point in our life. And I'm glad our God is the God of the valleys, and even in the valley of Elah, amen, when it feels like we're overwhelmed and outmatched and do not have the experience to win the victory, and our God is able, my friend, to magnify himself. And so the God of the valleys, the God of the valley of Elah. When we consider this evening, there really are three things we want to look at in this text. Let me give you all three of them, and I'll preach the first one tonight. We'll find in this text the giant that was presented. In the valley of Elah, there is a giant that is presented. And my, what an awful, terrible, mighty foe Goliath proves to be. And then we'll look at, not tonight, but in the days to come, at the life of David, this main character in 1 Samuel 17. And we'll look at the guts that were possessed in the valley of Elah. You see, if you're going to enter the battle, if you're going to be victorious, amen, I understand it's the God of the valleys, but you have to have some spiritual guts about you, amen, to make a stand, and my friend, not tuck tail and run when that would be the easier thing to do. And we'll look at David there, and then obviously in this text, there is the God that is promoted in the valley of Elah. And I'll show you some things, man, they've just been wondrous to my heart to contemplate and consider and study all over again. from this great valley scene in the Word of God. Let's look at for a minute tonight the giant that was presented in the valley of Elah. And so this represents the place of strength for the children of God. And when it looks like they're evenly matched and that Israel may maintain this place, the Philistines sent out a giant that, my friend, changes the whole dynamic of this valley scene. I believe Goliath could represent a lot of things tonight as a giant. Amen. He could represent the big problems that come to our life. Those giant-sized troubles that stand between us and victory and overwhelm our life. We look at them and we go, there's no way that I can overcome this in my life. I believe Goliath very literally could represent that of an attack of Satan and the very gates of hell. Amen. I won't run the references tonight, but Goliath, my friend, surely is a picture of the God of this world. Amen. The champion, the very best that hell would have to offer. And then he steps out for the foes of the enemies of God. Amen. Seeking none other than the humiliation and the destruction of the children of God, to enslave them and to bind them, and to bring them into a place of servitude to the enemies of God. And so the giant that was presented, this mighty man of war, this man of Gath, Goliath, what a foe that he is. And several things we could say tonight about what he represents. And in light of that, what we learn from him in this text tonight. Amen. Consider with me, and some of this is just informational. Amen. And we'll get to a good thought here in a moment. And in the valley of Elah, we see this giant was presented. I notice in verse number 4 when he comes on the scene, and the first thing we're drawn to him is the dominion of Goliath. The dominion of Goliath. Notice what the Bible said. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Amen. This is not just some common little, amen, private soldier in the Philistine army. This is not one that's just come out of boot camp. This is not one that, my friend, is unskilled in the art of warfare. The Bible said that when the Philistines sent Goliath out, this giant is presented, that, my friend, what preceded him was the testimony that he was a champion. Amen, a champion. You know what a champion is tonight. Amen, when a boxer wins a championship, that means that he has proven that he's trained harder than anybody else. And he's more determined than his foe and his opponent was. And he was able to take the licks and keep on fighting. And that in perseverance was able to come out victorious time and time again. And so when the Bible said that Goliath was a champion, that indicates that Goliath has been through some battles already. And my friend, no doubt he had an undefeated record. And he had a dominion about him that testified, I've whipped other people, I'll whip you as well. And my friend, when someone's a champion, they are feared. When someone is a champion, they are respected. Amen. Whatever the arena of warfare and fighting that they have become skilled in. It indicates, this word champion indicates, that Goliath was a proven man of war. And so, my friend, when we consider this tonight, amen, there's a lot of things that, amen, in the world in which we live and in valley scenes, we become aware of, my friend, the dominion that the God of this world has. My friend, we consider how many saints of God, how many mighty warriors of the household of faith have been brought down by him. How many have tried to resist him and fight him in their own strength. And my friend, the devil has wore out and has championed himself over. How many statistics the devil could give tonight My friend, great preachers and great church members and even great churches that the devil has been able, my friend, to exercise dominion over. And so in a sense and in a way, amen, we do well to give respect unto the devil tonight. In the fact that there is a power he possesses. He's not all powerful. I'll not give him that much credit. Amen. He's not omnipotent tonight. Amen. But he is an adversary to the people of God. And if you look around, my friend, he's got a trail of victims. He's got a trail of those that he has overcome. Amen, as it were, a champion against you and I. Amen, the dominion of Goliath. And ain't it amazing? And in the valley scenes of our life, when we're trying to maintain strength and maintain power, the devil comes on the scene. Amen, and trying to make himself as big as he can. Amen, reminds you and tries to tell you how much dominion it is that he has exercised. Amen, I see in this text the dominion of Goliath. Amen, notice with me the descendants of Goliath. In verse number 4, the Bible said, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. Amen, and so we're told very specifically where it is that Goliath has come from. He came from a little bitty place in the land of the Philistines known as Gath. What do we know about Gath tonight? Here's what we know, that in Joshua chapter number 11 and verse 22, the Bible said that in the days of Joshua's conquest of Canaan, as they were conquering city after city and the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, and it came to a place where the Bible said, Gerald, the land rested from war. And that Joshua and the children of Israel had overcome all the Anakims who were the giants of the land. And the Bible said only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod there remained. And Joshua had been commanded of the Lord to slay them all and to overcome all the cities and all the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. And what we find is Joshua and his generation, for whatever reason, I would argue that the very verse there in Joshua 11:22, amen, gives the indication that Joshua said, it's only Gaza, it's only Gath, and it's only Ashdod. They're no threat to you and I. And we've whipped so many people, we'll just let these survive. And if they ever become a problem down the road, then we'll deal with all. And it's an indication of leaving little things left undone. And my friend, what was a little thing? What was an only issue in Joshua's day? Now several generations removed has grown into a very large giant and a very large presence in the valley for the children of Israel. Amen. What was once just a little thing is now a giant. It threatens the strength and the power and the praise and the standing of the children of Israel. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? Amen. I'm saying we better take heed to the little things of our life and the little issues of our life and the things we say, it's only this and it's only that. And I've got victory in so many other areas of my life that this is not really that big of a deal. Amen, it may be that way today, but on tomorrow, amen, you may be in a valley and the little things may become big things. Amen, there may be giants you're dealing with, amen, in valley scenes that threaten your spiritual strength. Amen, don't leave little things left undone. Amen, don't let the little things of life, amen, that my friends seem like, amen, things that'll never be an issue for you. Amen, you better deal with them while they're small. Amen, nobody ever gets in big trouble overnight. Amen, nobody ever winds up in big spiritual trouble Friend, just at the snap of a finger. Friend, when things are small and things are little, when they're ignored, amen, those things grow and become giants that, amen, bring you to a valley scene where it looks like, amen, there is no hope and no place of victory. Amen. Notice with me in the text, verses 8 through verse number 10. I see here the defiance of Goliath. We see his dominion and his descendants, but notice the defiance of Goliath. Amen. His warfare is very strategic. Now, Goliath, I'm sure he's interested in a physical fight. Brother Mike, I'm sure he's interested in Israel sending some warrior and some soldier out that he can put on public display, amen, and put another notch in his belt, amen, that he has whipped somebody else, amen. But can I say, even beyond that, I think there is glee and there is joy in the heart of Goliath at the defiance that he is bearing against the nation of Israel. As we consider this, the word defy. Amen. Well, just look what he says here in verse number 8 through verse number 10. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, notice what he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Amen. Goliath is telling you what he's doing. He said, I am defying the armies of Israel. And David shows up later in this text and he hears what Goliath is saying. Amen. Day after day after day. Amen. Goliath is like clockwork. He steps out in the valley of Elah. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he would defy the armies of Israel. Amen. David believed it wasn't just the armies of Israel Goliath was defying, but he believed that he was defying the very name of David's God. Amen. Is that not like the devil in our life? Is that not the voices that we hear from the troubles? Amen. That seem so high to mount up. Amen. They defy you and I. A word defy. Listen to this. The word defy. Amen. Means to pull off or to expose by stripping. Amen. Little by little, day by day. Amen. Goliath exercised psychological warfare. Amen. That stripped away the courage and stripped away the strength of the people of God. He was stripping them of their faith. He was stripping them of their confidence in God. He was robbing them of every past victory God had ever given them and placing them in a place of doubt and a place of confusion and a place of being overwhelmed. How did he do it? He did it through defiance. He did it through doubtful sayings. He did it, my friend, again, through that psychological element. Amen. Of just showing up every day. Amen. Saying it again and again every day. Every day he was there to remind them. Amen. They were nothing and that he was bigger than them. He was stronger than them. And there was no way that they would be able to overcome him. Amen. Is that not what the devil does? Amen. Is that not what the world does? Is that not what our very flesh does to you and I? Amen. It defies you and I. Amen. Pulling off our faith. Amen. Stripping away our confidence in God. Amen. A defiance, amen, is a very, very strategic part of the warfare of the child of God. Amen. This word defy means to defame or even to blaspheme. Amen. You know what Goliath was doing that day? Amen. Now listen, Israel was a mighty army. Amen. Saul, the king, was a very mighty man of war. He had mighty men around him that had been through bloodshed. Amen. They fought their own battles. They have come out victorious time and time again. They have notches on their belt too. Somebody say amen. Amen. But when Goliath came in that valley of Elah, amen, Brother Jack, he stood there and he defamed every victory they had ever won. Amen. Every battle they had successfully and victoriously come through. Goliath was there to defy that and defame what they had been through. Amen. Blaspheming them and telling them they're a nobody and that there's nothing they can do. Amen. I hate the devil tonight. I don't know if you hate him or not. Amen. Somebody said you ain't supposed to hate. Amen. Well, you are supposed to hate the devil. Amen. And all the works of iniquity. Amen. And so I hate the devil tonight. Amen. I hate what he does to God's children. He beats their brains out in that psychological warfare. Amen. Telling them they're nothing till they believe it. Amen. Telling them they can't do anything for God till they stop. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, does the devil really work that way? Amen. You better believe he does. The defiance of Goliath is a real thing. Amen. We see the dominion and the descendants and the defiance of Goliath. And notice with me in our text in verse number 11, down through verse number 19, but in particular verse 11, I see the discouragement about Goliath. Amen. He showed up every day and defied them and showed his dominion. And they've been reminded where Goliath came from and their past failures. Amen. To the point that the Bible said when Saul and all Israel heard those words in the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. That is, they heard it enough that it began to affect them. Amen. They heard it enough till they began to believe it. They heard Goliath, Mathrin in the valley of Elah, speak these great swelling words of discouragement until discouragement began to settle in. All of a sudden, Israel, even Saul himself, a man who stands head and shoulders above all the mighty men of Israel, a mightiest that was in the camp, a very leader of the people of God, is now, my friend, cowering down and is now dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. What a discouragement. Amen. You say, preacher, discouragement is not real. Amen. I would say to you this evening, discouragement is real. Amen. And when you're in the valley scenes of life, amen, and the giants are presented against you and I, amen, oh, discouragement is a temptation. And discouragement is a path we often go through. Amen. Even before we've even tried to win the victory, amen, we become discouraged, dismayed, and greatly afraid. Amen. Dismayed, that is, amen, they lost all hope. Amen. They thought there is no way that we're going to come out and win. Amen. Somebody said, Saul, you going to fight it? And Saul said, there ain't no way I can whip it. Amen. Eliab, are you going to go down there and prove what a mighty warrior you become? And Eliab would crawl down behind the rock or behind the bush and say, there ain't no way I can whip such a mighty foe. And discouragement began to be settled in upon the children of Israel. Amen. At the giant that was presented. Amen. We're dealing with a lot of giant-sized troubles in our day. Amen. Things we don't know how to deal with. Things we don't know the outcome and what things are going to be in days to come. Amen. I dealt with it this morning. Amen. Surely I don't want no controversy tonight. Amen, even in the community, but COVID and all that is, amen, going on with that in this day. We don't know, amen, what it's going to be like a month from now. Amen, it seems like a mighty great big trouble. There are people that have family troubles that, amen, just seem like they're never going to go away. And my friend, after a while, discouragement settles in and people become dismayed and greatly afraid of the things that they're faced with and dealing with. Amen. Sometimes it's financial issues that bring discouragement. Sometimes it's health issues, and we wonder, amen, will I ever be whole again? Will I ever be able to be what I once was? And my friend, we deal with discouragements, amen, concerning giant size issues that, amen, we deal with throughout the course of life. Amen, you say, preacher, all that sounds terrible. Amen, the dominion and the descendants and the defiance and the discouragement that was exercised and presented in that valley. Hell, if I may tonight, amen, on purpose, I'm kind of fast-forwarding for a minute, but Jack, and let me say a word about the defeat of Goliath. Amen, Goliath was a mighty foe. And Goliath, my friend, said some very discouraging, defiant things. And the people of God may have cowered down for a little while. Amen, but God is going to send a young man by the name of David, amen, to go to the valley and, amen, show up there that day. And you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey would say, amen, here is the rest of the story. Amen, what was a great giant in the opening of this text? What is a great giant that is presented in the valley of Elah? Amen, that disheartened so many people. Amen. When all is said and done, notice what verse number 50 said. So David prevailed over the Philistine. How did he do that? Did he have a sword and a spear and a shield and a grave? Amen. Did he have some great new weaponry? Amen. That was new age and technologically advantaged him in the warfare. Oh no, he prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. I'm telling you, as a redneck East Tennessee, amen, living in hillbilly land, that excites me. Amen. Amen. He smote him with a sling. Amen. Put a rock right between his eyes. And little old David ran over there and unsheathed his sword. Amen. Reared back with all the force and the might he could and cut off Goliath's head. I believe he raised it up. Amen. And when the Bible said, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Amen. And you say, preacher, what are you saying today? I'm saying it doesn't matter how big the giant presents himself to be. It doesn't matter what the giant's record is tonight. Amen. God can give you and I the victory. Amen. God can bring down the biggest of giants. And God can give us our strength and our power and maintain and retain our praise. Amen. Unto His holy name. Amen. We may be discouraged tonight. Amen. But I tell you what David did. David put his trust in the Lord. Amen. He made his way down in the valley. He had his amen. His side was on one side of the valley. Amen. His opponent's cheering section and cheerleaders Amen. We're on the other side and they're screaming it and they're cheering on their champion. Amen. And what we find is David said to Goliath, amen, you come to me with sword and with spear and with a shield and you got an armor bearer. It's two against one down here and you're a giant. He said, but I'm going to bring you down in the name of the Lord. Amen. He said, the Lord's on my side. Amen. And I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, amen, there was a defeating of the giant. And it had been presented. God brought a victory. Amen. And at the defeat of Goliath, amen, the defeat of Goliath, amen, was not only a victory for David, but it encouraged the army of Israel on that day. Amen. They seen Goliath go down and David walk over there. I can see them, Brother Gerald, kind of rub their eyes to see if really what they thought they were seeing was really going on. David pulled out that sword and cut off Goliath's head and raised it up. And buddy, I'm telling you, that crowd got shouting on the victory side. Amen. And I wrote this down. It was an encouragement to the army of Israel on that day. But can I say the Valley of Elah, that whole experience was encouraged in David's life in days to come in other battles he's going to fight. The Valley of Elah is mentioned again in 1 Samuel 21, verse 8 and 9. David is having to deal with Saul. He's dealing with another valley in his life, spiritually speaking. He's on the run and he comes to the house of God. And Brother Jerry, he needs some food to eat and Abiathar's going to give him the showbread to eat out of the house of God. And Brother Larry, David looks at Abiathar and he said, is there any sword? You got any sword around here? Abiathar said, we ain't got but one sword. It's that sword that you used in the Valley of Elah. You used Goliath's sword and cut his head off. We've had it tucked away back here. And David said, give it to me. Here's what he said. There is none like it, amen, in all the land. And so the past victory in the Valley of Elah, where he defeated Goliath, began to be future encouragement for David in further battles. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm ever going to win in the valley that I'm in right now. Amen. Can I tell you, God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? No giant presented can stand against us if we'll fight in the name of the Lord, be strong in His might, be mighty in His power, and lean upon His Spirit. He'll give us victory and our giants will be defeated. And what is a victory, an encouragement for us today, will not only encourage us today, but it encourages us in future battles, believing that God is able to do it again. Amen. I'm done. That's all I got. I'm out of, amen. I finally made my radio time, and my voice held up just long enough to do it, and I give the Lord the glory for it.